It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
Good evening and welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years this evening and every Sunday evening, 5 p.m. Central Time, that's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And you can hear this program again by going to my website, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. And the link to the podcast, along with any of the links to websites that we talk about on this program, will be posted later tonight. And you can hear the podcast of this program as soon as 5 minutes after the show ends by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, that's blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And for information about previous shows and about upcoming shows, again, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com. You can listen to all of the previous podcasts at blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And also, be sure to follow me on Facebook for all of the latest updates and information about upcoming shows and information and links to my Huffington Post blogs. And that's at the Dr. Mara Karpel, D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P-E-L, Your Golden Years. Want to contact me? Give me a call at 512-626-6973 or send me an email at drmara@drmarakarpel.com or go through my website and hit contact. All right. This program is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psycho Productions and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. For information about his book, to order his book, to make an appointment at his memory clinic in Lakeway, Texas, you can give him a call at 512-261-7909 or send him an email to rdevere, that's R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com, and his book is also available on Amazon. This program is also sponsored by the Brown Lady, Sonia Das, helping every woman have a perky day. In Austin, call Sonia at 512-898-9058 or go to haveaperkyday.com. This program is also sponsored by StoryHouse. StoryHouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have StoryHouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. StoryHouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-752. And today is Sunday, August the 7th. And we are back live. I am here in beautiful New York while Art Mendoza, our producer from Accomplice Entertainment, is producing the program from beautiful Austin, Texas. So this should be interesting and it'll be fun. And I hope you're staying cool where you are. The weather here actually in New York is beautiful. It's been about 88 degrees, which is a nice relief from Austin, which has been in the high 90s. So, who am I? I'm a licensed psychologist from right here in New York City, practicing in Austin, Texas, and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and caregivers, and for the past few years have also been evaluating veterans for PTSD. And most recently, my office has been in the wonderful Veterans Resource Center, Heroes Night Out, which is located in Cedar Park, Texas. And if you want more information about this really great resource for veterans and for their families, you can check them out at heroesnightout.org. All right, so this evening's program, we are going coast to coast and nation to nation. First, our first guest right after the break, Teresa Leftinant is joining us from Seattle, and she is author of the book, Reinventing Her, Helping Women Plan, Pursue, and Capitalize Their Next Chapter. She's founder of My Financial Design, registered investment advisor, financial registered representative, money empowerment coach, and manifesting mentor specializing in helping women pursue their financial dreams. And we're going to talk about that topic this evening, women pursuing their financial dreams and their career dreams. Also, Laura Gelizunas will be reporting in from the retirement paradise south of the border, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And I'm going to continue my discussion about preventing depression. And throughout this evening's program, we will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions or comments for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email or tweet your questions to me, and I will read them on the air to my guests. So my email address, once again, is Dr. Mara. That's D-R-M-A-R-A at drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com, and my Twitter address is M-A-R-A-E-K. All right, so we're going to take a very quick break, and when we come back, Teresa Leftinant will be joining us. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Super Psychologist Dr. Mara Karpel will be back after words from our sponsors.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmarakarpel.com.
And we are back. And if you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years right here on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And now joining us once again from Seattle, Washington, author of the book Reinventing Her, and founder of My Financial Design, Teresa Leftinant is joining us to talk about women and money and following our dreams. So, Teresa, are you there?
I am. Good evening.
Good evening. Just to let you know, there's a slight delay when we talk like this.
Okay, you and I.
Yes.
Great.
So, welcome back.
Thank you. Happy to be back.
How are things in Seattle?
You know, today it's raining.
Oh, that's so unusual.
It is very unusual for this time of year, for sure. Oh. But, you know, we have lovely weather here. They call it the Emerald City, and that's because the rain keeps it green.
And, sorry, I got cut off there for a second.
Good.
So, well, I'm glad
you're back.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're cool over there because it's hot most of the country right now. So, and
for sure.
maybe you can fill our listeners in a little bit on your background if they didn't hear you the last time that you were on this program.
Sure, be happy to. I have spent my entire business career really in the money business. My dad owned a bank, and I started working in his bank when I was 15 years old. sort of went up the chain of into management in banks, and then switched over to the investment area of the bank, and eventually opened up my own independent financial planning practice in 2003. So I've talked to a lot of women and couples over the last 30 years, and you know what's important, what became important to me after hearing their stories and listening to what's really important to them in life, is that I wanted to specialize in something fairly unique in my practice. So ironically, when I was giving advice in my 40s, my own financial life was kind of a mess. In fact, my entire life was kind of a mess because I just really hadn't been given the training and skills that I needed to have the success that I wanted. And I think that's true for a lot of people. We all seem to want something in our lives, whether it's more money or more fulfillment. And yet there seems to be a mystery about how to actually create success as we see it. So that's when I developed an avenue, or maybe you might call it an arm of my company, called Reinventing Her. And that's really where my book was really born from, is the idea that if we can learn to develop our inner self, I call it mastering the inner you, then we can reinvent ourselves and ultimately our lives to be more that we were born to have, and certainly have happier and more prosperous lives.
And I know that you tend to focus on women. And is there a particular reason why you focus on women in finance?
Definitely. The statistics show that women in particular tend to have some similar, shall we say, obstacles to having financial security. Number one, they tend to feel a little less confident around making financial decisions. They tend to take less risk when it comes to investing than, say, men do. Men tend to take more risk than they really need to. And also, you know, those of us who have been lucky enough to have a career and a family, sometimes we take time out to raise our children. And, of course, as you get older, your children grow up and move away, and then sometimes you have to take care of a family member. So there's some unique challenges that women have. I also think that, you know, women talk to women easier. I speak women's language. They understand, you know, what my problems have been and how my life has evolved. So I just think there's a natural collaboration between women.
That makes sense. I get that.
Yeah, and of course, you know, those statements are generalizations, and it certainly doesn't mean that men can't talk to women and be great financial advisors, but that's just really where I have felt a passion or a pull, and that's to help women become more confident about making good financial decisions. And actually, you know, what I teach in my coaching arm of my business really applies to any area of your life that you want to improve, whether, you know, having better relationships, maybe better health, getting a better job, or even starting your own business. When we as human beings learn about the natural inner qualities that we have, I call them our inner power qualities, when we learn about those and we learn to develop them a little bit more, then any part of our life can improve or be better.
So it's really a holistic approach. It's not just about finance. Improving
our
lives.
It really is. Yes, I mean, as you know, our money is for our life. You know, it's just, you know, one of the aspects that we can learn to be better at in order to have the life that we truly want. So, yeah, money is for life, as we all know.
Right. And you know, a lot of times the stress that people are dealing with has to do with finance, right? It's hard to feel happy in your life if you're worried about paying your bills.
Yes, it definitely is. And I think, you know, the last time we were chatting, we were talking about how, you know, stress over money really contributes to divorce. And certainly it can contribute to couples when they disagree about money, they tend to maybe make an agreement not to talk about it. And, you know, that's what I find with my couple clients, is that I have to help them learn how to talk about money so that they can make proactive decisions rather than avoid the topic because it's stressful.
So I know you talk a lot about how, you know, women tend to get onto this treadmill pattern.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about this treadmill that we tend to get into?
I can. I guess I would ask the, you know, the listening audience what they think of when they hear the word, you know, are you living a treadmill life? I relate to it from the aspect of remembering back to when we were young, and most of us had, you know, some kind of dream of what we wanted to be when we grew up. In fact, you know, what did you want to be when you grew up, when you were a little girl? What did you want to be? All right.
Me? When I was a little girl, I went through a lot of different stages. An artist. Oddly enough, I when I started doing a radio show, I remember sitting in my bedroom with a tape recorder and making believe that I had a radio show.
Interesting. That's great.
And I completely forgot about that until the first day that I was doing the radio program. Then I went through various stages. And then when I started college, I started to go for engineering, although I can't say that that was what I really wanted to do as a little girl. I was much more into creative jobs.
Well, see, that's exactly proves my point, because I think almost every human being has this dream or a number of dreams that seems to be part of us when we're little. I mean, there's no effort to it. It just seems to naturally be part of the fun-loving person we are as a child. And then what happens is we, you know, go to school. If we're lucky, we go to college and maybe even graduate school. And then suddenly we have to make a living. So we find the best job that we can, and then we have rent and bills to pay, and then life evolves. We meet a partner, we get married, then we want to buy a house. Well, then we have to make even more money, right? And so our decision-making becomes more about fulfilling our needs as opposed to creating a dream. As life goes on, then we have a child or two or maybe more, and then you find yourself getting up every day and going to a job that feels not fulfilling, but is somehow, you feel somehow like you have to, especially if you've been in a certain career for a while and you're making a certain income. You know, it's hard to give up that income to go live your dreams. And that's only to say, you know, that's only part of it. The other part of it is all of the adults in our lives who convince us that our dreams are silly. You know, you can never make a living at being an actress. That's what I wanted to be when I was a little girl. You know, I was doing plays on my block with all the other kids, and it was just, I was writing scripts, and I had this amazing imagination. So, you know, then I had to make a living just like everyone else. So that's what I call the treadmill life. And I feel like women in particular tend to lose the connection to that dream that I'm really passionately happy that we have when we're young, and because they want to support their families, support their husbands, and they give up on their own dreams.
And what happens? I talk about this topic a lot, following our dreams and how important it is, but what's your take on that? When we give up our dreams, what happens to us?
Well, I believe that we settle more and more for less and less. I believe that our tolerance for emotional pain grows higher and higher. You know, we learn to be unhappy. We learn to be sad, to avoid conversations or anything, you know, we just learn all of these adaptations, which is, you know, definitely what you are all about, is helping people identify with how we've settled for being unhappy.
Right.
You know, I believe that we are hardwired to make that, like we're born hardwired to make a personal contribution to the world or to humanity. And I believe that if you know anyone, and maybe someone can come to your mind, but if you know anyone that is happy and peaceful and highly productive, most likely it's because they have connected to what their personal dream or passion life is, and that they are doing everything they can to manifest that and to live it in
mm-hmm.
their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the kind of people that I like to help are the people that have lost their way along that journey. The people who someday wake up and they go, how did I get here? Why am I so unhappy? Why is it that I'm, you know, fighting with my spouse? Why am I running to the mall and spending money that I don't have and racking
mm-hmm.
up credit card debt? I mean, that was what helped me realize, you know, that I had, that I was lost on my path. And,
right.
you know, here we are. We have this very precious life that we were given. We don't know if it's the only life we get or not, but I think that we have to behave as if it is. And, you know, give ourselves the permission and the power to have the life that we want. Certainly
mm-hmm.
more and more people are starting out with that. You know, I think about the conversation I just had with my children, and they have been empowered from a very young age to go for their dreams, and they just happen to have a mother who knows the steps to do that, which is lucky. But I, you know, I wasn't encouraged as a child, so I lost
uh-huh.
my way.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's interesting because even when I've taken risks like moving from New York to Texas.
Yes.
You know, moving from your hometown all the way across the country, a lot of my friends, they really thought that I was at the last minute going to change my mind. They told me they could not believe that I actually did it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
people were some were jealous, some were really, really worried and scared for me because I was taking a risk.
Yes.
But I see people who don't take risks, and they seem more and more unhappy.
Exactly. I always tell people, if you want to know if you're going in the right direction for pursuing the life you were born to live, or the wrong direction, check in with how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because you
mm-hmm.
feel joy and happiness and optimism and possibility when you're going in the right direction. But when you're going in the wrong direction, and I'm talking about the life you were born to pursue. So the
mm-hmm.
wrong direction is you feel frustrated and angry and hopeless. So
right.
we are given a set of inner qualities that are our guides, and our emotions are one of those, you know, an example of the inner qualities that we have to help us. And isn't it true that we aren't told how to understand and process our emotional reactions? If we're lucky enough to learn over time, that's great, but most of us are never given that kind of education,
mm-hmm.
and I believe we all need it. to find our joy-filled life, emotions, and some of those qualities such as, you know, confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Confidence is
mm-hmm.
something that we know is on board and in place when we succeed at doing something that scares us. You know, like, for instance, asking for a better job or for a raise. It takes confidence to be able to do that. But how many of us know that we could actually develop our confidence in order to change our lives for the better?
I think that's something that somebody has to, you know, either have a role model to teach you that or a lot of encouragement from other people.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we have to give it to ourselves, because as you were just saying about your circumstance, when you decided to take a risk to change your life for the better and to follow your dream, your friends try to talk you out of it out of caring for you, but they were projecting their own fear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, definitely. And that happens all along the way, right? People.
Absolutely.
People try to talk you out of it.
Yes.
So now, you know, I know you've written, you just wrote another book and your previous book, you've written about this, so we certainly can't cover it all in the time that we have, but maybe you can kind of give us an idea of how do we rekindle that excitement and passion of following our dream when we have given it up or have the fear that if we follow our dream, we're going to be very poor.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. The first thing we have to do is be willing to take a look at ourselves and our life. And I don't, you know, I do think that, tell me what you think about this. I had a catalyst that helped me, sort of jogged me into looking at my life. And that catalyst was, you know, I wasn't given a job that I really believed that I deserved and was going to get. And that job was going to come with a better, bigger salary and was going to, quote, solve all my financial problems. And so when I didn't get the job, I was jolted into really looking at the truth of my life. And that was when I began to see, really, I'm the one that has actually made all of the messes in my life. And so therefore, it became obvious that I was going to have to be the one to figure out how to change it. So that's number one. I think we have to have some sort of event, or it can be someone that we trust saying to us, do you realize, you know, what's going on with you? You know, people who are addicted to drugs or to alcohol, many times that's their catalyst, is for a friend or family member to help them really realize. It's awareness, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And so that's really the first step, is to be able to really turn and look at your life with an honesty that hasn't been there before. And then, of course, to begin to forgive yourself for doing it in a way that you really didn't mean to. You know, for me, I realized that I not only was tens of thousands of dollars in credit card debt, but that I had been a pretty poor parent up to that point. And I had, you know, I could have drowned in guilt and shame over that if I wasn't willing to engage a process to allow myself to forgive myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I also consider part of that growing your self-esteem. You know, self-esteem is one's own esteem for one's qualities or abilities. And so, you know, how do we grow our self-esteem? We grow our self-esteem by remembering all of the things that we've actually succeeded in doing in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
One of the things that I do with my private client people is work with them on writing a list, like 100 things that they had done that they consider successful. And it's interesting how in the beginning of the process, most people say, oh, I could only think of 5 or 10. But as they're encouraged and remember that even the littlest things, like learning how to skateboard or learning how to write, you know, cursive or small things like that, still can bring up your level of your belief in yourself that you have the capability to change your life.
Right. And do you find that when people do that, they start to realize they've done some pretty big things too that they never gave themselves credit for?
Absolutely, absolutely. A current client of mine recently discovered, after being very resistant to even doing this, to even, quote, wasting the time doing this, because after all, I am nothing but a failure, which is really what a lot of people think about themselves. Once she finally broke through and realized she began to remember experiences in her life when she had actually predicted things that happened to people. And it turns out that she has this amazing inner gift to foresee things that happen in the future. I'm not trying to project anything here, but she connected to this amazing gift that she had totally forgotten about. So you can imagine how much more confidence she has now. And so that's a step towards her beginning to understand, you know, what is it that I really want my life to look like? Now that I realize that I do have a lot more abilities to succeed than I thought I did, now what do I really want? And that's where we are in her process now. One of the things that I learned, you know, I'm a Jack Canfield, I'm a certified trainer of the success principles that Jack Canfield wrote. And one of the things that he taught, that he teaches in the success principles book and in his workshops is the passion test, which was it's a book that was written and developed by Janet and Chris Atwood. The passion test is one of the shortest and easiest ways to identify back to those things that used to make you really happy, you know, like running free in a meadow or, you know, like for me, writing scripts and doing plays. So I do the passion test with everybody that I work with because it helps you identify what your top five passions are and then how are you living them in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and your question was, you know, how do we rekindle some excitement and passion for following a dream? You know, how do we get off the treadmill life and onto a more meaningful, happy, really purpose-filled life? And that's how you do it. Number one, accept where you are and forgive yourself. And number two, begin to develop your own esteem for yourself. And then number three, begin to connect to the passions that are yours and yours alone, and also claim them. You know, like, okay, I am really passionate about doing what I do right now, talking and helping people understand things about themselves that they may not know. I can be really passionate about that, and I'm claiming that as mine.
Okay. Okay, and so if people start to discover things that they're passionate about that aren't necessarily like career types of things, running in the meadow, like you said, does that eventually, when people kind of connect and finally feel those feelings again, where they feel joyful, engaging in different activities, does that lead them at some point to finding what they're passionate about that might bring in income?
Absolutely. Because it's a process. You know, I think if you were to say to somebody, hey, you know, you don't have to be a vice president of a bank because you're bored and it means nothing to you, you could start a life coaching business. If you just say that to somebody, you know, they're completely resistant. That's crazy. I can't see how to get from A to B. So the thing that people have to remember is that this is a process that you develop over time. And one of the things that I help people understand is what are your own personal obstacles to opening your mind to the possibility that you could have a happy, joyful, passion-filled life. And, you know, we do have as human beings this lack of motivation to change. Change, the word change kind of scares us, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And do you remember that book back in the day? It was called Who Moved My Cheese?
That book was getting passed around at all the different companies that I worked in. And
absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what about that book do you remember struck you about it? Not that you read it, but just the title. When you hear that word, that title, Who Moved My Cheese? How does that strike you?
Well, it strikes me as, you know, a fear of things being changed. That's the fear that something was moved out of place. things aren't exactly the way that I want them to be and expect them to be.
Exactly. Very good. You know, we love our comfort zone, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We
oh,
love
yes.
to have things predictable. We love to be to know what to expect. We also like to be right, you know. And if things change, then we aren't as likely to be right about the things that we say is important. So I really like the fact that that's an example of how that book just became a bestseller immediately because it expressed what humanity really felt. Hey, don't move my cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I want things to stay the way they are, where I'm comfortable, even if I'm unhappy, which, you
right.
know, let's be honest, just, you know, you're not always happy with the way things are, but you do want them to stay the same. So how do we get the motivation to actually change ourselves, our circumstances? Because sometimes it could be a really big change. Well, my experience and, if you know, through all of the of my own personal growth and the many years of talking to people, people will only change if the carrot is big enough. And that's why
right.
understanding what your passions and your own life purpose really is, what you were born to do, that's the motivation right there. And so, you know, we can, like, that's why diets don't work. Because we're not
right.
motivated to follow someone else's diet. We can do it for a couple of weeks, but, you know, we get so uncomfortable, then we're going to go back to the way that we're used to.
Right. Right. So, Teresa, is this what your latest book is about?
Well, I'll tell you, you said a book. I actually contributed a chapter to a group written book called
okay.
Coaching for Entrepreneurs, How Life Coaching Can Help Entrepreneurs Improve Their Bottom Line. And my title is, my chapter is Mastering the Inner You for Kick-Ass Business Success. And so, you know, we've heard this before. I mean, anybody that's at all interested in, you know, the personal growth or human potential movement have heard the words, it's an inside-out job, right?
Mm-hmm.
We
right.
grow ourselves from the inside out. But there's most coaching programs are all about working on the outside. You know, you got to organize your time better. You got to, you know, hire a bookkeeper. You got to have a business plan, a marketing plan. All these things are really important. But it doesn't take into consideration who you are on the inside. So that's why I'm focusing on that.
So when is your book coming out? When is the group book coming out?
Yeah, so this book is being put together by the organizer of the International Association for Professional Life Coaches, and she has informed me it's going to be another couple of months before it's out. It will be in hardcover as well as an e-book, you know, available through Amazon. So I'll be letting people know, obviously, on my website, reinventinghher.com, and let everybody know when it's coming out.
Okay. And so if people are interested in your the workshops that you lead and your coaching or your financial advice,
right.
how can they get in touch with you?
So it's always, you know, easy to go to Facebook. You know, I have a Facebook page, Reinventing Her, and I also have my coaching website, which is reinventinghher.com. If you go there, you can join my mailing list so that you'll be lightly educated and informed of events.
Uh-huh.
I really believe in making sure the content is brief and not too often. Because aren't we
okay.
all inundated, you know, with so much advice? The important
right.
thing, you know, that I'd like to leave in people's minds is that if there is an idea trickling around in your head about, geez, I just, you know, my life is half over, or I just really want something that expresses who I truly am, that's when you can seek out getting involved in what I'm doing. Because I'm the guide to help you reinvent your life.
Great. And your money,
of course, too.
Right. And you have seminars, you have individual coaching as
yes,
well.
Yes, what I find people like to do is get some education from a webinar or two, which I have webinars on growing your courage, understanding your emotions, how to be more authentic as yourself, supercharging your motivation. I do, you know, sort of one-off classes of those types of things. And then I have group coaching that I put together, groups of 10 or less. And finally, some people really want the private one-on-one coaching so that we can go fast and really dig deep into what is necessary for that person to move forward and really have what they want in life.
Great, great. Well, Teresa, I'm going to post the link to your website and Facebook page on my post about this program after the program is over, so people can just click on it and take them
Perfect.
Right to your pages.
Perfect.
Thank you so much for coming on the program. It's always really interesting.
I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about my favorite subject. So thank you so much.
And I have to say, you know, and I want to let listeners know that, you know, reading Reinventing Her and listening over again to the interview that we did the last time that you were on the program has really inspired me and helped me to make some financial decisions in my own life. So really is pretty powerful stuff.
I'm very happy to hear that.
I appreciate that. Yes.
Very happy.
And
thank you.
I will be speaking with you again soon.
Okay, great. Thanks again.
All right. You have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So we're going to take a brief break, and we have much more after the break, so don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential body wear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com. And have a perky day.
Worry about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
And we are back, and if you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpel in your golden years right here on blogtalkradio.com and on live stream and podcast at drmaracarpel.com. Okay, so before I continue my discussion about preventing depression, just an update on news. The videos that we have done that for the guests that have come into our Austin studio since the beginning of this year, we videotaped them. We have uploaded some of them. We started uploading them one at a time, and you can actually view them now at Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O.com, and just do a search for Dr. Mara Carpel and your golden years, and you'll be able to watch the videos. And my latest Huffington Post blog was published about 2 weeks ago, Thriving with Stress, and take a look on my website and that's on publications or on blogs, and you'll be able to read my latest Huffington Post blog. But there is another one on the way that will be published any day now, so keep your eyes open. keep looking at my Facebook page, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years, and you'll find out when it is up and ready to read, and you'll get the link for it. And I, as I mentioned at the start of the program, I am here in beautiful New York, right on the border of New York City over here, and weather has been beautiful. They had a heat wave, but now it's been in the 80s, which is just perfect. And some radio show news for when I'm here. I am actually going to get to meet with some of the guests who have been on this program while I'm here, who live here in the New York area. Tomorrow, I will meet in person Karen Olson, violist for the New York Pop Symphony, who has been a musical guest on this program several times. And on Wednesday, I will be meeting the health coach, Quentin Denny of QuentinDenny.com, who is he's a big star on Mind Body Green and in Huffington Post, and he's been on the program about four or five times and has consistently said, I will buy you a juice if you meet me when you're in New York. So I'm going to meet with him on Wednesday and get another time for him to come back on the program and take some pictures to post on Facebook. Also, tomorrow night I'll be taking a yoga class, the yoga teacher Steve Kane, who was on the program a few times, and he'll be back on the program at the end of this month talking about mindful eating. So I'll get to try out his yoga class tomorrow evening. And who knows who else I'll meet along the way. So this is kind of fun. Anyway, in terms of I started last week talking about how to keep from becoming depressed. I started with a couple of tips. And I want to, you know, start this evening by supporting what Teresa Lassinant just spoke about, a couple of things that she spoke about that I think are really important for preventing depression. And number one is not giving up on dreams, not getting stuck in that treadmill of life and fear of taking risks towards following your dreams. Because what I have found with my clients and even when with myself when I tended to kind of get stuck in that rut is that is one of the major causes of depression. And I think Teresa was just talking about that people tend to feel very unhappy when they give up the things that they are most passionate about. So finding a way to find out what your dreams are if you don't know what they are, finding what the passion is in your life, and receiving support, whether it's a mentor, such as someone like Teresa, or a group of like-minded friends, who can help to guide you or support you on that path towards your dreams. I think that is so important. And we all have a gift that we can contribute to the world, and it's really wonderful for the world to have us contribute it, but even more than that, it's really good for us and for the people that are in our lives, for us to follow those dreams so that we are happier and have more energy and can spread that happiness around. So following your dreams is really, really an important way of preventing depression. And the other part of that is, as Teresa also spoke about, is finding a way to get your financial situation in order, so that you're not in a constant state of worry about your finances, because I have seen that also leads people to depression. I certainly have seen it for myself when things haven't been going well financially, that it can cause a lot of stress. And as I've mentioned, ongoing stress eventually leads to depression. And finances, being afraid to even look at your finances or discuss them with your partner, as Teresa just mentioned as well, often causes relationships to end and marriages to end, and because of that fear of even just looking at the finances and figuring out how to make things work. So those, you know, those tips, based on what she was just talking about, really, really powerful in preventing depression. Now, last week, just to Kat, remind you if you weren't listening, last week I also talked about how it's important to exercise. Getting enough exercise helps to prevent depression. Being around other people, socializing, finding your group of like-minded people, very powerful in preventing depression. And one of those things that people don't want to do when they feel depressed, but that causes more depression when we isolate ourselves. Getting out in nature, I talked about last week, just walking in a park or by a lake or a river or the ocean, very, very powerful. Within a few minutes, you start to notice that your mood is changing when you're out in nature. And laughing regularly, very important to try to find things to laugh about. Even laughing about the absurdity of life is really, really powerful in turning around a bad mood or worrying about a particular situation. If you can laugh about the situation, it changes your whole perspective about it. Okay, so another tip that I didn't get to last time, eating. You know, I talk a lot on this program, and I've had several guests on this program to talk about healthy eating and ways of changing your diet so that you get more nutrition. Really, really important for mood. What we eat really affects our mood. If we eat too much sugar and too much processed food, we are likely to have spikes in blood sugar where our blood sugar goes up real high and we might feel real energetic, but then it crashes. That's what happens when we get our blood sugar to spike. It then crashes. It's not even. And when your blood sugar crashes, one of the symptoms is having a severe anxiety or depression, certainly lack of energy. If you ever noticed eating a lot of sugar, you might want to take a nap in an hour. So that's your blood sugar not being stable as it should be for your health and for your mood, but spiking and crashing, and that again, causes mood spikes and crashes, so to speak. Also, Dr. Michael Greger was on the program a few weeks ago, and we're going to play the encore next week of his interview. And he has done a lot of research in how increasing the amounts of fresh fruits and vegetables that we eat not only improves our health and our immunity to prevent diseases like even diseases like cancer, but it also affects our mood. And certain fruits and vegetables in general actually help to release the neurotransmitters that we need, those chemicals in our brain that affect our mood and our sleep. So just eating a lot of fruits and vegetables not only increases our health, but increases our mood, and we might not even need to take, if somebody's depressed, they might not even need to take antidepressant medications if they change their diet. Now, I'm not saying to stop taking your medication if you're on it, but I am saying that at some point you may not need it. Clinton Denny, who I just mentioned, who I'm going to meet for juice on Wednesday, has been on this program to talk about juice. And how in specifically green juice has helped him to overcome an anxiety disorder. So that's how powerful fruits and vegetables are, particularly greens, have the phytochemicals that help to calm down our nervous system. And they have all of these minerals that you just can't take in a pill, and they're not present in meat and animal products. And most Americans just don't eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. They eat a lot of dairy, eggs, meat, and fowl. And those phytochemicals that we need for our mood are not present in those foods. Okay, and getting enough sleep is another very important aspect of being in a good mood. And I'm sure listeners out there have noticed that when they don't get enough sleep on a consistent basis, they start to get very irritable and eventually feel really down and can even lead to depression. So getting good sleep is very important. And, you know, I've written a blog about how to get to sleep and how to get better sleep. I've had a guest on this program. I will have him back again talking about sleep. And really important. There are a lot of books out there. I know Arianna Huffington just wrote a book. She's the one who started Huffington Post. She just wrote a book about sleep and how to get better sleep. And one tip I can give you is that if you are sensitive to caffeine, if you notice that you have poor sleep at night, then try to stay away from anything with caffeine after 2 p.m. in the afternoon, because that caffeine stays in your body for several hours, can interfere with your sleep. Some people are totally immune to it. Some people fall asleep right after a cup of coffee. But in particular, for people who notice that you're having poor sleep, one tip would be to stay away from caffeine late in the day. Also, I've written a blog about this, and I talk about this a lot on the program, and that is, trying to become more of an optimistic person. Most of us are not born as optimists. Many of us, there are those people who are just natural optimists, and that's just wonderful to be around. But many of us need to cultivate that in ourselves. And one way of doing that is to practice changing negative thoughts, being aware of our own thinking, the things that we say to ourselves, and that takes some practice and mindfulness, being aware of the things that we say to ourselves, and then working at turning it around. What is a different way of looking at that situation? Is there a silver lining? And, you know, when I talk about being an optimist and becoming a glass half full person, I mean a realistic optimist. So, you know, if you're crossing the street and a car is coming at you at 90 miles an hour and you say to yourself, oh, it's okay, I'll be fine, that car's not going to hit me, that's just not safe to be that sort of optimist. So a realistic optimist would say, okay, well, I have the ability to back up to the sidewalk so that I don't cross the street in front of that car that's racing at 90 miles an hour. That's a realistic optimist. I have the coping skills to deal with the situation at hand so that I can be okay. And that leads to us actually sticking to more healthy eating habits and sticking to healthier behavior in our life in general, exercising more, because we're realistic optimists. We know that, okay, it's not okay to eat garbage all the time and eat junk food, we're not likely to be healthy if we continue to do that. And if we sit on the couch and watch TV all day long and never move, but I know that if I make the effort to eat healthier and to research what is healthier eating, and I make the effort to get some help and finding out what kind of exercise is best for me, and I actually put this into practice, that I can actually get healthier, feel better physically, and feel better emotionally. So that is realistic optimism. And when we live our life with that throughout our day, no matter what comes along, being realistic about the situation and coming up with solutions to it, or knowing that we'll survive if there is no solution, that we'll be okay, then that helps to keep us from becoming depressed and unhealthy, because we follow through on healthier ways of living our life. And I'm going to end with number 9 and leave the others for next week. And number 9 is finding meaning. And one way of finding meaning in our lives is by following our dreams, as we just talked about with Teresa. So finding meaning is extremely powerful in keeping from becoming depressed. It not only means following our dreams, but it means finding a way to create meaning even in situations that are harder to deal with. So a family member, we're a caregiver for a family member, for example, who maybe has Alzheimer's disease. That's a very tough situation, but we can actually find meaning in that we feel good knowing that we are helping our loved one and we're creating a very close relationship during this time that we're the caregiver. So finding some way of creating meaning in a situation, extremely powerful to keep us from becoming depressed, even in tough situations. So on that note, I'm going to end there, and I have a few more tips for preventing depression that I'll continue with in the next program. But we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere, because it's a very, very quick break. After the break, Laura Galazunas will be joining us from beautiful Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Flying so high now, shows a man where to fish. Watch me send it, he lies in his hand, teaches tourists how to live, and he knows how to live. High in that mountain.
All right, and we are back. And if you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpel in your golden years. And now joining us on the phone from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, the retirement paradise south of the border, Laura Galazunas.
Hey, what's up? Laura.
How are you? How are things in Vallarta?
Very wet.
Very well.
A little monsoonish yesterday, and I think we're going to have some more rain tonight.
Okay. Is this the leftover from that that storm that was out that looked like a hurricane out in the Caribbean?
This isn't the one. Earl pretty much fell apart over the mountains in central Mexico. This was a little disturbance yesterday that developed into like a little tropical storm. I think it was Javier.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, we're getting a little action from that. Oh, yeah, the heat index yesterday was 111 or something ridiculous.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. And so many people down here don't have air conditioning.
Yeah. So does the rain cool it off a little bit or no, makes it worse?
No, it was beyond being able to be cooled off, that was for sure.
Oh, boy.
I mean, it's like a big sauna.
Yeah,
it's good for
right.
your skin, though. People keep telling me it's good for my skin.
Right.
Seriously.
So, what's going on down there with the retirees? Are they all
aside from people, you know, bailing out their houses?
Are they really having difficulty with the rain, or are they?
A lot of streets. We had a lot of flooding yesterday because it was typical monsoon. You know, where it just rains really hard in a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be, speaking as a meteorologist, which I was in another life.
Right.
The storms are going to continue to be intense like that because there's no inversion layer. So when the hot air rises, it takes a really long time for it to hit a cold enough layer to develop precipitation.
Whoa. Okay. Okay. So this
little science lesson for you tonight, too.
So this is going to go on for a while.
Yes. I think it's going to be more and more typical behavior of any thunderstorms is you're going to see heavier thunderstorms in shorter amounts of time instead of, like, you know, long soaking rains. That's my dog.
Okay. Everybody's inside. Out of the rain.
Yeah, my dogs are inside. They're inside doggies.
Okay.
So what
do people do down there when the weather gets like this?
Well, today they had a spay and neuter clinic at the park on the river, on the Rio Quale. And I think they did almost 30 cats and 15 dogs.
Oh,
one
wow.
of their vets was, yeah. So those are free for people
mm-hmm.
who are, you know, interested in getting their animals fixed and trying to, you know, keep the pet population down here.
Right. Right. So there are a lot of animals wandering the streets down there, dogs and cats.
Yes, there is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's to help curb the population and to keep people, you know, especially cats, people will poison cats rather regularly down here.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's something you have to keep an eye on if your cats are out and about.
Right.
Unfortunately, that's happened here quite frequently, so you need to be careful. So the idea is to keep, both big, quote, cat ranches here have gotten anywhere from 40 to 60 kittens this spring. And that's despite the fact that we have aggressive spay and neuter campaigns. And they're free.
Mm-hmm.
They don't
mm-hmm.
cost, they, we don't, you know, these animals that I've worked with for, over 10 years. We do between anywhere between 100 and 140 animals in a week.
Wow.
And we're mobile, so we go to a new neighborhood every week. And I don't work so much in the clinics anymore because I have to work for a living. I was a little more leisurely when I moved down here. But I help with some fundraising and publicity and things. But, the change in the last 10 years that I've been with them is, you know, when we were having clinics, we would have to drive around and beg people to come bring their animals. And now they're lined up at 7:30 in the morning.
Well, that's great.
To bring their animals in. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, and nobody's got a pet carrier or anything. There's cats in backpacks and in rice bags, in tote bags. I mean, however they can get the cat there, they bring it. It was two kittens in a bird cage. I mean, just. But they're bringing the animals in because they're making the connection that, you know, they can stop some of the suffering and whatnot by having their animals spayed or neutered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people leave the clinic and they're crying because, oh, my God, my dog's not going to have another litter. It's pretty impressive. So I've worked with them a long time because you got to nip the problem in the bud, so to speak. And if you can eliminate more animals on the streets, and this is the only way spaying and neutering is the only way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're not going to adopt out all these animals if you save them. There's no way.
So are there any activities coming up for for the retirees that are down there? Any activities?
If you check out, let's see, Oh, no, I can't remember. I'm having a brain fart. Expats in Vallarta is a group. It's a non, you don't have to pay to join or anything like that, but they have happy hours. And if you check out their website, they've got stuff coming up.
So they're pretty
busy happy
right
hours
now,
at local restaurants, you know, where you go, and sometimes there's a special on drinks or snacks or whatever. And
so even this time of year, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and they used to stop in the summer, and I think because a lot more people are living here full-time that they've continued their activities in through, you know, all through the year. Some of those not some – yeah, I mean, there's just – you know, the Friday foodies. I mean, we had 30 people for dinner at a restaurant on Friday.
Oh, great.
So it's a group who get together on Fridays and hangs out and eats at a,
and
you
eat.
Know, they, yeah, they eat. They go to a different restaurant every week. So it gives you a chance to meet some new people. Especially people that are living here year-round.
Right.
So I'm organizing and I'm organizing the first presidential debate party.
Really? When is that going to be?
The 26th. The first one's September 26th.
September 26th.
Yeah, so we're going to see, I guess, if Donald decides to participate or not, because it kind of looks like he might be trying to get out of it. But if he doesn't.
So a lot of the people down there are really interested in that, in the politics of the United States, right?
I have found that people that live, you know, since I've been here in Puerto Vallarta, since 2002, I find people here are more involved in politics and more interested in politics than when I lived in the United States. Of course, I worked in the news industry in the United States, so I have a little bit different opinion, but I find more people are interested in politics and what goes on, because what happens in the United States politically affects the whole world.
Right.
Too bad Americans haven't figured all that out just yet, but that's okay.
So that's kind of interesting, right, that people are more involved in the process when they're living in
Mexico. My God, and they have whole voting drives and, you know, 100-something people show up, and they help you with the Democrats Abroad chapter. Helps people register, whether you're Republican or not. There is no Republicans Abroad in Puerto Vallarta, but there's a big, you know, the Democrats Abroad chapter here has about, I don't know, close to 100 members. So, but you can go to there. They just had one. I think it was the last one before, so you could vote in the presidential election. So they make sure that you fill out your paperwork and stuff gets sent where it needs to be sent. And they have activities throughout the year as well.
So is that due? If people are living in another country and they want to vote in the presidential election this year in the United States, is that coming up really soon, the deadline?
I think it might have already passed the final.
Oh, really? That might be over.
That might be over.
Okay.
But you can certainly register to vote, you know, wherever you last lived, if you want to continue to vote, you know, for, you know, congressmen and state legislatures and stuff like that. You can do that from anywhere you live. The United States
makes
it.
And just send in an absentee ballot, right?
Yes.
Okay. And if people are registered already to vote from out of the country, do they have to vote at a different time than the rest of us vote up here?
We pretty much, you better start, you know, thinking about it right now.
Okay, and then they mail it in. It's a mail-in.
Yeah, and there's mailboxes, et cetera, down here that will really help you, you know, get everything to where it needs to go.
Okay.
So they'll help you with that.
And like you said, the Democrats Abroad will register people or help people, even if they're
not Democrats.
Will
help you do everything. Whether it doesn't matter party affiliation, they will help you do it because everybody should vote.
Right. Good point.
But I do see, just in my experience here, more Democrats leave the United States to live abroad than Republicans. That's my experience here in Puerto Vallarta.
Okay, well, that's kind of interesting. We'll have to have a discussion about
there
that.
There are a few Republicans, and we there are a few Republicans, but not, you meet way more Democrats than Republicans who have moved, which I find interesting. There's got to be some.
Yeah, it would be interesting to talk about why that is.
I have done a few segments for my show, Vallarta Life, and I write for Banderas News, and we've explored that a little. So it's interesting as to why.
Okay.
So,
and
but
so,
very, very active group of people, so great group of people to hang around with.
Okay. And it, and still availability if people are looking to buy or rent for next high season, which is the winter season?
Right. If you're going to rent for next winter season, you better be looking now because some of the prime spaces are already being rented. So, you know, get online and check things like VRBO, some of the Airbnb stuff, but mostly VRBO down here is very popular.
Okay.
And get yourself. And now would be a time to come because a lot of times people will rent sight unseen. And if you're staying here for several months, you may want to look at the place before you rent it. Check out the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Check out and see where it leaks during your rains.
Yeah,
things like that. One of the things you'd want to keep in mind, too, if you're coming to Puerto Vallarta is the cable company has changed to a company called Izzi, I-Z-Z-I, and they took over Telecable. And they really don't have cable service. I mean, they have cable service, but you're not going to get a lot of channels in English anymore. So.
Okay.
But you're coming on vacation. Do you really need to be tied in? I haven't had a TV since I moved here. I watch everything online.
Well, I was just going to say, most people these days are, if they're going to move to another country, it's all on live stream or, you know,
you would not
internet
believe the
television.
Amount of people. Yeah, but you wouldn't believe the amount of people complaining. I'm like, okay, you
really?
Came here to get away. You came here to get away from it all, so.
Right.
Get over it.
These days you can pretty much get anything on the internet.
Yes.
You can even watch CNN on the internet. So.
There's a couple. There's a website that I have that has like all the channels. I can watch the BBC. I can watch Al Jazeera. I can watch. It's a matter. It takes a little time to find the links, but I'm happy to share those with people. But I don't watch much else. I have some other channels. You know, other sites that I stream from. But I'm not a big TV person anyway. So.
Right. And if people are interested in buying, can they still contact you about that?
Of course they can. I am at Boardwalk Realty, so they can contact me at Laura@BoardwalkRealtyPV.com. And any questions you have about buying property in Mexico or living in Mexico, I'll be happy to answer that. What is my website? Oh, my gosh. You can go and check out one of my other YouTube channel at TVPuertoVallarta.com.
Okay.
And I've got over 200 videos, including shows like Vallarta Life, my real estate vlog, and recipes in real estate, which I just updated with my new company I'm working at. And Puerto Vallarta Condos for Sale.com is my new real estate website. I got all my keywords in there, so that's why it's so long.
Right.
So
Puerto Vallarta Condos for Sale.com. And all of that is on my website.
Go ahead and take a gander, and you know any questions people have, they can contact me. That would be fabulous.
And if people want to find out what's happening for retirees down there, or anybody else who wants to visit,
they can go to BanderasNews.com. BanderasNews.com. It's the only website that's updated daily.
Right.
So that'll give you all the Bay of Banderas news and national news, stuff that's going on here.
Great.
Everybody got all that? That's your homework for tonight.
That's right.
Check it all out in between watching the Olympics.
Right. Well, Laura, thank you so much for coming on this evening. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Definitely.
All right. Stay dry there. Don't float away.
I think I'm molding from the inside out or something. Of course.
All right.
Okay, have a good evening.
All right. You too. Have a good evening.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So we do not have a musical guest for this evening. Art, our producer and musician, was going to be the musical guest, but right now he's resting his voice. So we're going to end a little early this evening and give us all a little bit of a break. So just before we go off air, let me let you know what's coming on the next couple of weeks right here on Dr. Mara Karpel and Your Golden Years. Next Sunday, August 14th, I will still be here in New York, and we will be running an encore presentation of one of our hit shows with Dr. Michael Greger, speaker, researcher, and author of the bestseller, How Not to Die. So be sure to tune into that. And then on the following Sunday, August 21st, we'll be back live from Austin, Texas at 5 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, with author, life coach, and writing coach, Kathy Sparrow. And she'll be talking about why you should write your life story, even if it's just for you to keep or to show to your children and have them keep. And we'll have much more as well. And if you want to hear tonight's program again or read the information from the show or read about upcoming shows, listen to previous shows, get the links to all the websites that we've talked about, read my Huffington Post blog, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. And also follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. And you can listen to this evening's program in as soon as 5 minutes from now by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. This evening's program was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald DeVere, by Sonia Das, the Bra Lady, and by Storyhouse. And special thanks to my guests, Teresa Leftenant, Laura Gelazunas, and of course, thank you to Art back in Texas for producing the show. And thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.